And we're live.
Hello.
You guys, I'm so excited for today. I've actually been waiting for this moment because Michelle is one of my best friends. And I have, as soon as I started this podcast, I was like, I cannot wait to interview Michelle because you have had a story and you are still writing your story. And I am just so excited to feature anybody with this story on here. But really, like, when you can see God working through that and the successes that you've found now on the other side. And so not just as a spectator, but as your friend, I'm just so proud of you, especially this last year. So we'll go ahead and get into it. Welcome to the Chase and the Truth, Michelle.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited and I'm so honored to be here. I'm glad I slid into your DMs.
Oh my God, yes.
You and Emily have the same story. I guess it on her podcast too. And it's like, how did we meet? I was like, I slid into your DMs. I guess it's my thing, y'all.
Yeah.
To find girlfriends.
You know, it's so hard, I think, as adults to make friends. Because when you're a kid, it's like whoever's in your school or, you know, when you go to college, it's whoever's in your classes or the sorority or whatever. Yeah. And then you graduate and you're past all of that. And then now you're like, we're all the friends. Yeah, we're all
I
the
see
ladies
with Anika. With like, yeah. I take her to the playground and it's so easy. You just come up to someone and like, hey, do you want to play?
Yeah.
They either say yes or they start running around and they're like, okay, I guess we're friends.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're now like, you can't just friends. Go up to someone and be like, hey, do you want to be friends?
Do you want to be my best friend today? Which actually, like, it doesn't happen. But I feel like with us, it kind of happened that
way. It did. You know what? Like, because we obviously met through another colleague. Yeah. And then I kept seeing your page on her page. And I was like, who is this girl? So I like started following you. And then I reached out to you.
Yeah.
Because I just felt that connection. I don't know. I have a weird way of like knowing if I will get along with someone based of what you post and what I see in your stories. And I just felt like that connection. I was like, oh, it would be nice to get to know her. And then I had invited you like, hey, would you want to grab coffee? Our coffee date
was our first coffee date together.
We said coffee date lasted for like 3 hours.
That is so true.
We went to two hands.
Yes, I remember.
And I was like, I just went out on a date. I had to find my new sister here in Austin. I'm like, that felt very refreshing.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I remember that. That feels like yesterday.
Yes.
But we talked about everything.
A year and a half or no, more than has it been? Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years, I think.
I feel like.
And then we found out that we went to the same gym and then
Yes.
Mutual friends.
You just go at the 6 a.m. class.
Yeah. One day you'll be there. No. I think whenever your body needs to go to the gym, that's when it's best, whether it's 6 a.m. or 7 p.m. You know, my body cannot function very well in the evening if I go to workouts then, but
I push myself during the community workouts, but I guess because we have the whole, you know, people, the vibe, then I'm there.
Right.
But I'd rather train between like 7 to like 10 in the morning. Past that, I'm like, you're going to have to drag me.
Right. You're like, is there going to be coffee?
Give me a pre-workout real quick.
Yeah, something. Well, let's talk about your story now that's a little bit of how we met. And then we just became really close
friends, yes. And I love that.
I know. I like, we just call each other to check in on each other.
It was so organic. I feel like the coffee date. And from then on, I'm just like, okay, we talked about everything.
Or we can also go like 2 weeks, I mean, just seeing each other at the gym or whatever, but then like, hey, like pick up the phone and like, hey, we need to talk something through. Which I feel is the best friendships, because I've been being busy people, like, not only are we busy, but you're also a mom, you've got a whole career, and it's hard to keep up with friendships. Mm-hmm. So I think that's like that's another talk for another day. For sure. But
let's, we have an hour, that's it.
Yeah, we gotta get everything in this hour. No, we'll have to have you back later. talk through some other things. But talk to us about, because I was actually shocked when I first met you. I just knew you as like Michelle the realtor, right? Because I'm in lending and it was a connection. That's how it initially, I think, started. And then we're like, wow, we're really good friends. But then you had this whole other life before the United States met you. So I would like, I think like a good title for you is like actress, athlete, And yeah, and then agent or actress, agent, and then athlete, right?
Forever athlete. Forever. Let's go, baby. Let's go, Corey.
Shout out, Corey. Yeah. But yeah, you had this whole other life before.
Yes.
Anybody here knew you. I actually didn't know how famous you were until
we're so famous.
I'm like, this girl's famous. She's just a normal person.
I'm normal, I swear to God.
Yeah, we're at a restaurant and shout out 1618 restaurant. And one of the servers there was like blown away. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm serving you. So I was like, it's Michelle. She's my friend. Like, she's just, you know, so sweet and human. And this person was just like starstruck.
She was.
The way I would be if I saw, I don't know, Brad Pitt or something. Like, just like starstruck, you know? Yeah. And I was like, wow, you really did have a whole career in the Philippines.
Yes, before. I did.
Yeah, so talk to us about that and then your journey coming over here.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, that's a lot to unpack. Where do I start? But yes, so I remember, so I was born and raised in the Philippines, and I moved to Texas in 2016, so about 8 years ago from now. And at the early age of, I would say, like 7, probably Anika's age, I knew I wanted to be an actress.
Wow.
So my dad, my mom, so two separate homes, they separated when I was young, would see me, they would catch me in front of the mirror acting. And they're like, what is your sister doing? I have an older sister. And she's like, oh, you know, she's acting, trying to copy, mock whatever is on TV. But that was the big dream for me.
Yeah.
So fast forward to, so I joined all the dance classes, all like the acting, entertainment. So saying you, like you mentioning, oh, athlete, I never played sports growing up. I tried to play volleyball, but that wasn't for me. I was always in the entertainment side of things. Mm-hmm. But now I am. I feel like I can call myself an athlete. That's why
we'll talk about that. Yeah.
But yeah, so when I was like 11 or 12, I was like walking at this mall, and then like a talent agent for commercials found me and gave me their card. They said like, oh, you should do auditions. You should try commercial modeling and whatnot. And my mom and like, were like, what? Whatever. So I did my audition and then booked my first lead commercial for like Johnson & Johnson.
Wow.
Baby cologne. I was like the only teenager surrounded by babies.
Wow.
So I was 12 or 13 at the time. I was really a year later after that. So I was like 13 years old. And then it started from there. At like 15, they had this reality show called Star Circle Quest. And it was like American Idol, but for acting. Mm-hmm. So in the Philippines, if you're an actress, you're also able to like dance, host, kind of like a well-rounded, you know, celebrity. So I had to like sing as well and dance. So in my auditions, like I went through so many people like auditioned for this first reality show, and I made it to top 10. I was like top 8.
Wow.
So think American Idol, like lining up and then top 10. So,
and this is everybody like double, triple threat. Like these are people that have all the skills.
Yes, wow. Yes, exactly. People wanted to like be an actress and all that. But for me, I wasn't thinking of, I want to be famous. It was always like the craft. I was like, I want to be an actress. I want to perform because I enjoyed performing. Because like I would always like play dress up and, you know, do all these things. So, and that's where it all started. So like got the reality show. And then from then on, that was like my bread and butter for like 13 years.
So were you making money like right off the bat once you started that? Like how did that...
I started making money at 13 years old. It wasn't a lot to start with, but when I was 18, that's when I got my first, 18 or 19, got my first guaranteed contract with the TV network. So I had a 5-year contract with them. So regardless if I was filming or not, I was getting paid. So imagine being young, making good money for your age.
Yeah.
I felt like on top of the world. And I just did whatever I wanted in life. I made bad decisions as well.
Well, you have young age and then you have money, but then you also have the fame.
And I didn't think of it that way. Wow. But I would say, though, seeing myself now, I could honestly say, like, obviously I've changed so much, but I was a bit more, I feel like arrogant in my younger years. Not saying like, oh, I'm an actress. I've never said that in my entire life. It was more so like, oh, I make good money. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. You know? You like had another level of confidence.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. For sure. But
insecurity too, because you're like, I've got it. I'm making the money.
I was insecure. You'd be surprised. Wow. Because that's why, because in the Philippines, in Asian countries, especially the Philippines, they favor like more like fair skinned. And I was obviously this is me. Like I was darker growing up. So I was like very like, we call it morena. Yeah. So it's like dark skin.
That's
you. Yes, morena and brown skin. And yeah. I mean, that's the norm, I feel like, right? Like that's true, like Filipino color, skin tone. And growing up, I remember my mom or my agent would say like, you need to take like glutathione or all these things, like whitening pills, because it's so common back home.
Oh,
like
wow.
Go to Korea, go to like the Philippines, Thailand, everything everywhere is like whitening pills, whitening lotion, all these things to kind of make you fair skin, right?
Oh my gosh, come to America and we're like,
they see me and they're like, oh my gosh, your color. And I was like, go to my country and it's the opposite. So it's so different. And being young at that age, I was like, am I not good enough? Because I love my skin tone. I never wanted to like change it.
Yeah.
But everyone that surrounded me was like, you should do this so you'll book more projects, so you get the lead roles and all of these things. And then being like young, having those insecurities that you're not good enough, and then pitching you against all these other girls at that time. That's why also I had like breast implants at the time at like 18 years old, because I was like so insecure seeing all these like girls' bodies.
Comparison.
Yes. So I was like, oh, maybe if I get, you know, my breast implants, I'd look more like sexier, whatever, then I would probably get the part.
Right.
It did boost my confidence at that time. It's probably what I needed. Very superficial at the time. But then 10 years, 12 years down the road, I was like, it's no longer me. I did that for the wrong purpose at the time. Because obviously I was younger, I was insecure. And hearing those things in the past was just like, okay, I need to be ahead of the game. You kind of wanted to like chase that.
What's
too.
What's that competitive edge that I can do?
Yes, to book the next project.
Right.
Because I want to be that person. Yeah. I want to perform. I want to do all these things. So I was very driven.
And still
and
are.
I still am, but I'm very like ambitious. I knew at such a young age that I wanted to be in that field.
Wow. What an amazing childhood to have. Because, I mean, you were still a child, right? At 18 years old.
Yes.
I mean,
thinking about it.
Yeah. Now that you have your daughter, you're like,
I'm 35. I'm like, I was a child.
Yeah. That's so crazy. And to have handled, I mean, that is so much more than even, I would say, your average everyday teenager like I was growing up, you know.
I didn't get to experience the normal like childhood, I feel like.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't, and I mean, I didn't go to college. I didn't finish school at the time.
Yeah,
obviously I got like my GED and whatnot, but coming back to like, oh, how did you feel when you were younger? It's like, oh, I felt like, oh, I didn't need to do anything anymore. I didn't need to go to school because I was already making money at like 15 years old. And back in the day, I didn't have a very good relationship with my mom. So like at 16 or 17, I moved out from our house. So I've always been very independent.
Yeah.
I think my driving force was, okay, this is how you guys view me. So I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to ask for any like favors until I make it.
Yeah.
So that was like my driving force before.
Some pride.
Yes. So it's like, oh, I'm moving out. I'm not coming back and ask for money.
Yeah.
And I think I really made sure that, oh, I can't go back.
Right.
I'm going to make it happen. No matter what.
Yeah.
Not to like make someone feel bad or like, oh, hey, I did it. But like it was more for me. It was my inner dialogue.
Yes. Wow. I just can't even imagine like having to, I don't know what that lifestyle would look like, you know. And then that's your foundation. And so how did you end your acting career? Was it just something that you're like, this is not for me anymore? Did you have new dreams that came up and you're like?
I was probably going through a quarter life crisis at that point. And I've lived in the Philippines for the rest of my life, right? Like born and raised. So I I've always known, I guess, deeper to my core that I wanted, I love to travel. So I've traveled even before, before coming to America to live here. But I've always wanted to experience living outside of my country where I wasn't sure. I didn't have a specific destination. Yeah. But I think when I was like 24, 25, I was like, I've always loved cooking. So I took my culinary studies.
You are a great chef. I've yet to eat your food.
I need to like
in
make,
your social media.
Yes, I need to cook for you guys. We'll put it on the calendar. Yeah. That's what Corey says to me. It's like, we need to try the cooking, Michelle,
I
him
know.
And Kat.
You just post it on your social media and I'm just like drooling.
Miranda's just lucky to get all of it. but yeah, so I took my culinary degree in, when I was 24, 25. And then I wanted to obviously train, do my like internship abroad. Texas is probably not the first place you think of when in terms of culinary. You probably want to go to Paris, New York, or California, yeah. right, to experience that. But then at the time, I was still filming a TV. I was still shooting a TV show. I was still very active, and the dates were just not lining up. So whenever they offered Austin, they're like, hey, we actually have this program. You go to the Marriott Hotel in 2015, 2016 when I moved here? Is that okay for you? And I was like, perfect timing. So they had to like kill me in my TV show.
Oh my God.
I was like, oh, she's leaving us. So we're going to have to find a different story.
That's actually really crazy. Cause here, if you're transitioning jobs for a normal job, you're like, oh, I'm going to put in my 2 weeks.
Yeah. Right?
Like, how did that work? Did you tell your producers, like, hey, you got to rewrite the show? Cause I'm not coming back.
Not coming back, but I was like, hey, there's a possibility. So I have this they knew that I was filming the show. I was in culinary school in between.
Oh.
So I was like, hey, this is my plan. I actually want to go abroad to like, yeah. you know, widen like my skills and learn different cultures, food and whatnot. And they're like, okay, so just give us a time frame. So when all the offers for New York or Paris or even California were offered, they didn't give me enough time. They're like, oh, you have to leave in 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm still working.
Yeah.
So I can't do that. So then they offered Austin. I was like, where the heck is Austin, Texas?
Oh my gosh, you probably looked at the map like, what in
I've
the
been,
world?
Yes.
Did you think everybody had cowboy hats here?
When I think
what was
Texas,
your perception?
I was like, howdy. Let me put on my cowboy boots real quick. Yeah. But really, because I only hear of Texas like, howdy, y'all.
Yeah.
I joke around, but obviously, like, prior to this, I've traveled to, like, Florida, California.
So you had visited the states.
Yes, just not Texas.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right. And I'm very risky. I like to take big risks because I feel like, you know, you can't really, I've always been good with, you know, like taking risks. And I feel like with that, I get the result that I want.
Yeah.
Because you'll never know until you actually try.
For sure.
You know, it's scary at times. Like being an actress was scary. Like going on my auditions was like, I always question myself, like, what if, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to ask myself later down the road and be like, oh, I should have done it.
Right.
You know, you'd rather like try things out. And if you fail, cool, I tried it out. Not for me. Whatever. Moving on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Texas. So here we are.
Yeehaw. Gotta learn.
And now I say y'all all the time. And all my friends back home, they're like, you're so Texan. Like y'all, yeah. y'all.
it just becomes part of your
yes.
DNA
yep.
once you move
yep.
here. Yeah. Wow, what a journey. And so did you continue doing that while you got here? Or when
I did
got...
it for a year.
Okay.
And then through that process, that's when I met Anika's father.
Yeah.
And that's when we found out towards the end of my program. That's mm-hmm. when we found out that we were having a child.
Yeah.
So it was really, you know, a hard decision between leaving. Because I thought I was going to be here for a year. Mm-hmm. My mindset was live elsewhere, away from my home, gain all the knowledge I need, you know, learn the skills and whatnot, and then come back.
Mm-hmm.
When I came back, we found out we were going to have a child.
Yeah.
So obviously, I decided to leave my entire life back home and move to America.
Wow. That is, I don't think people, I mean, you say it with a smile now because you've done, I think, so much like work on yourself and healing and all of that. But but from a girl's perspective, like those types of transitions in life are so hard. they don't just happen overnight as much as we would think that they would.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of transitions, you're like the queen of transitions.
I don't know if it's a good thing or not.
I would say
I'm a pro.
I would say it's a phenomenal quality to have in life, because you're going to have to make transitions whether mm-hmm. you want to or not. Everybody is.
Yeah.
And you can either do them with grace and a little bit of grit, or you can like fight it the whole time and you'll be stuck in a rut all your life. But especially me, like watching you over the last year, just continue to dig deep and like reinvent yourself. My respect for you is so much, like more than you could ever imagine. But also hearing your story, like that is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, leaving a country, like imagine, I can just only picture myself like, oh, I want to move to the Philippines after living in the United States for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, like
pretty much like 26, 27 years of my life was back home.
Yeah. And then like, so not only experiencing a totally new culture, like mm-hmm. I was culture shocked coming from the Rio Grande Valley to Austin. Like,
I was like, oh, this is how they do it over here.
Right. Yeah. That's only a 5-hour drive, you know.
And I'm over here across the country.
Yes. And so just the culture shock in and of itself, and then transitioning career, and then finding out you're a mom.
Motherhood.
Like, that is a lot of transition. And to see you on the other side, like, what are some of the things that you learned through those transitions that if somebody is going through that today, or what would you tell yourself back then after knowing the story?
Honestly, it's so crazy how you're like, oh, you're so inspiring and all these things. But you are right. Like, I did the inner work. I feel like the transition didn't just happen overnight. And for me, it took a lot of self-reflection to, like, why am I doing this? Or why do I feel a certain way? Because obviously, mm-hmm. when I moved here, there was still a lot of... One thing I realized, especially during the pandemic, I realized that I had so many like unpacked like baggage, like unhealed traumas.
Yeah.
And it showed while I was, you know, during my marriage at the time, during COVID, during motherhood. And I think because I was resentful towards a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I shared this on my social media about like abuse and all of that. And I feel like that stemmed from that.
Mm.
I think that's where I truly found like, you know, being strong and right. having that grit to like fight and move forward and to forgive people. So like, I think I went through like my rebellious phase as well, like in my younger teens, like it started like 15 to like, yeah, like maybe like 5 years, like 16 to like 20. I would say I was like bad. Like I was very rebellious. I think, and I don't like that term, like I wasn't bad. I was rebellious because I didn't know how to pretty much,
Communicate.
Yeah. Communication, you know, like I didn't know how to express or articulate my emotions, my feelings to like my family and what had happened to me. So I suffered from that like early on in, you know, like maybe like 8 to 10 years old, like very young.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, molested. And then I carried through that in my teenage years.
Wow.
And I think coming to America, it showed when I became a mother and I had no choice but to face my own demons because like I was angry because I was like angry from like 18 to 21. Like my, like at some point my mom couldn't understand. I was like, why are you doing this? Like I would like drink all the time. I would party.
Yeah.
I would surround myself with people who, you know, who didn't feel aligned with what I wanted to do in life. Because at some point, like I would go to work to like film my TV shows and I would be drunk. Like literally, if I was your co-actor, you would smell. I was like reeking alcohol.
Wow.
And my co-actors would be like,
get it together.
I was like, what time did you go home last night? And I was like, I know. They're like, just go to the bathroom real quick and fix yourself up. And they would tell me, until one day I was realized like, oh my gosh, like this is my bread and butter. I chose this path. I didn't go to college. And you know, I'm like putting everything mm-hmm. in this basket. I'm going to go all in. So I had that awakening of like
your one decision.
Yes. I was like, this could be taken away from me real quick. So right then and there, I like changed my habits. But to answer like your question, like it took me like honestly like 5 years to fully transition, because I was for like 3 years straight, I was dealing with a big transition, moving from giving my entire life away, like that 13 years of hard work, of what I've known my entire life, to becoming a mother and a wife.
Yeah.
To a country that I had no friends and family.
Talk
with
about
like
identity
crisis. Yes.
Yeah.
Because now I'm leaving. Oh, now I'm no longer Michelle the actress. Now I'm like, oh, I am a mother. Oh, what about career? Like, oh, I am a stay-at-home mom right now, which is a full-time work. You know, it's very hard. It's not for everybody. And if you are like, oh my goodness, I always say this to moms that are doing it with like three kids. I had one and I was struggling.
Yeah.
But having that support. So finding the support system is really important. I think that's where also my faith was tested. Like I just kept praying to God, you know, like.
Were you always a believer?
So I've always had the faith. I would go to church. But I think just this last 6 months, even a year to 6 months, like that's when I really started like digging deeper into like the word and really like practicing.
And
yes, but I've always had the faith. Like I feel like everything I've manifested in my life was through my prayers.
Yeah.
Like people, like whenever I go through something, I'm like really like down on my knees, breaking down and crying for help.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how big or small it is. Like, I'm on my knees. I could be driving my car on the way to, like, school drop-off, and I would be bawling my eyes out and like, Lord, if this is not for me or I really want this, but in your timing, I believe it. But yes, so I feel like my relationship with, you know, with the Lord has definitely progressed.
Grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing because, I mean, I would say the same thing for myself. Like, if you were to have asked me when I was in college, like, I've always had the childlike faith. Like, I've never really questioned if God was there or not. I'm like, yeah, I believe. Like, ask me in college, like, yeah, I believe in Jesus for sure, you know? And I'm sure you would say the same thing for yourself too. But until you're on your knees at a point of desperation, because this is what happened in my life, but until you're on your knees, like, with nothing left, there's no back door, and you can only look up, I think that that's when God brings us to a point where you can choose to have that relationship with him yourself.
Yeah.
Not just because you believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
And so you've had, I mean, we've all had a lot of these moments where like we're on the floor just praying out of desperation, crying, you know.
But it could, you know, one thing I had, the way I could look at it too is like, I always like thank him because there's so many things that happened in my life that it could have turned into like anger and question him or the other way around, right? Like literally those like
where was your protection?
Yeah, like I never questioned him. Yeah. I think that was part of my story to tell, to really like, hey, at this age, this is what I've gone through and you can pull yourself out of that.
Yeah.
And that's where the strength is coming from, I feel like. And also learning to forgive people is the hardest thing, because you can all, as a human, you can always like, well, they did me wrong. This is how they made me feel. I was so angry for a long time because like I was just a kid, right? But then you realize it's like, no, like I'm going to pull myself out of this. I'm going to forgive them, not for them, but for myself.
Yeah.
Because for so long I was angry. I would lash out and I wouldn't even know why I was angry. And I didn't like that feeling.
Yeah, you're like, where is this coming from?
Yes, I did not like that. Yeah. So holding on to something that hurt you is definitely not going to help you heal.
Yeah.
And it's not really going to, you know, it's not getting you anywhere in life.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, there are so many people that you'll see them when they're 70 and 80 years old, and they're so bitter. And I think it's because they've held on to something that's just caused them to be so angry all their life. And yeah, doing the work now in our 30s, so we don't end up like the grumpy old person, you know, but more of a person that has, that's just filled with so much joy and grace and peace that you can like share with your kids and grandkids, like why you are the way they are, and they can admire you at that point. But you're right. I'm just like shocked because your identity could have easily just stayed with acting, and then you were forced to switch that into like motherhood and your identity being in motherhood, but then also like coming to realization that like for some people motherhood is everything, Which is, I mean, it is. But also, like, your identity doesn't rest, and it's biblical. Identity doesn't rest in anything mm-hmm. other yeah. than Jesus.
Yeah.
And until we get ourselves to a place and understand that, I don't think that we have full peace. And I see you today. I mean, you say 6 months a year, and it literally was, like, just over like 6 months, about a year, where yeah. you just
my heart was broken a couple of times, and I'm like, Lord, help me.
Yeah. I need you now.
I
would
did.
Be a good time.
Yes. Yeah, I thought I did the inner work before. That was a different type of transition.
Isn't
it was
that
more
amazing?
It's so crazy because you're constantly going to grow and evolve.
Always.
So I feel like that journey, to answer your question, is like, what would you tell your younger self at that point? I was like, honestly, I don't regret any of my decisions mm-hmm. because I don't think I would have this story now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be this person. I wouldn't be as strong as I am today if it weren't for those experiences in my younger years, whether it be in my teenage years, in my early 20s, late 20s, yeah. you know, I don't think it would be for that if I didn't go through those experiences. But I do know now, like, I've set those boundaries, though. I know, like, knowing what I know now, I would just tell young Michelle to, like, really take her time.
Yeah. Don't be in such a hurry.
Yes, because I was chasing the truth. So yeah. growing up, coming from broken family, I really chased having my own family. Mm. I really wanted to. I thought when I was like 16, I thought I would be a mom at 21. Yeah. Everybody
Didn't
thought
we all.
Everybody thought it's like, yeah. oh, because I was going through my rebellious. It was like, oh, one day you're just gonna be pregnant and this and that. Mm. That was also my driving force. I'm like, let me prove you not.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, just because everyone thought I was just such a failure because I was like going through something. I was like, let me prove you not. And I was so good at proving people wrong. And I'm like, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get, you know, I didn't have Anika until I was like 28. So I chased that. So at that point, when I met Anika's dad, I was ready, you know, as mm-hmm. a woman. I was like, not because it was like out of pressure.
Yeah.
I was more so like, I think I'm ready. I want to be a mom, you know, like yeah. at 27, I wanted to be a mom. And then it happened. The only thing unfortunate about that is obviously going through divorce, which yeah. I don't think anyone plans for that. And I feel like at some point I was kind of like a failure in that realm because I was like, oh, I chased this so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter is going to experience the same thing. But no, I don't look at it that way because yeah. I would really rather her have two separate homes and live in a happy home than,
yeah,
separately than, you know, be in a very single home but very like toxic mm-hmm. and not loving and you know yeah
you've done such a good job as a mom, you know, navigating all of that, because it's hard to be mom just in that in and of itself. Like, I've got a dog and I'm like, how do people do this? I just imagine you, like, you know, doing all the things that you have to do, and then I see you at the gym and then you're like, yeah, I gotta go pick up my daughter, and then you're gonna, I was like, I just need to take my dog out for a 20-minute walk, and that's a lot of pressure.
You have to cook, you have to feed. I'm sorry, you have to get them ready.
I know, and I'm over here like, I can barely feed myself. I don't know how you do it.
I'll feed you.
but constantly, like, I think throughout your journey, you've just like constantly reinvented yourself and picked yourself up, and that is so hard. Like, me, for like broken relationships or a heartbreak, you know, I'm like, why God, you know, and that's hard enough. But then changing just within different identities and then finally putting your identity in Christ is so big. And I think for people that are listening out there, I hope that this gives you hope, because it's not an overnight journey. What we post on social media, and this is what I'm trying to do with the podcast, because I feel like social media has done a really, call it good job, but I call it bad job of just picturing this successful life and not really understanding what the chase really is
mm-hmm.
and what success, what the truths are in success.
Mm-hmm.
And the truths are is that it's the journey, right, for you.
It is.
And just constantly digging deep. But now you're a mom, and then you transitioned into being an agent. And then also I say athlete because, girl, you kick some butt in High Rocks.
thank you.
And you ran the half marathon not too long ago.
That was my first, yes.
Yeah.
Proud of myself.
I'm so proud of you, but you've, like, it just shows you there's a difference between being a strong woman. And I think that in relationships, people think as a woman, like, you have to, I don't know, maybe put on a front, or, mm-hmm. you know, if the guy is not doing or doing something that you don't want, like, you're this, like, strong character.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between being a strong woman and a woman of strength, where you, and that's exactly what you are, where you just have, like, you fought to have the peace. And you fought to have the grace to navigate with. And that's, like, I mean, that's why I'm just so proud to be your friend, because that's what you've done. And
Thank you.
You go off and, like, you accomplish these, like, super cool things. I'm like, you're running? You're like, yeah, I'm running the half marathon. Then your IT van was all, people don't even know that. And I'm like, you're like,
I was out for 2 weeks, but we're running it.
I know. I think last minute you asked me, you're like, do you want to run with me? I was like, no.
It's like, do you not know me?
You're like, I'm going to run slow. I'm like, no.
Like, do you not know me? Are we not friends?
I know. 13 miles? That's so long.
Can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you. Sure.
I'll do half. I don't know if I'm ready for the full marathon. All our friends.
I know. We've got some
crazy, like, Gavin and them, Hayden.
Kicking butt.
Kat. I don't know. I don't know if I can do. I'm sure I can if I put my mind to it, but am I ready for it? I was like, twice?
Yeah.
The half? I was like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Yeah. It's a big commitment, but also, yeah, I think we've both worked, because when we first met each other, we were both of us were just finding community at the same time.
Yes.
And, like, all of our friends are all relatively new friends within the last year or so.
That's why we connected so well. I was like, I'm looking for a friend. Yes, me too.
My friend, I know.
And it's kind of hard for us because we're in our 30s.
It is.
So I feel like most of our friends are a bit younger than us.
Yeah.
Because obviously my group of friends when I was still married were, like, different, like, the whole family. And then now navigating through that, it's like finding single moms that also aligns with, you know, with my goals and my lifestyle. Because I don't want to just have a very superficial, oh, like, we're Instagram friends, or yeah, let's do play dates. It's cute for social or whatever.
Yeah.
I really want to build, like, real connections with people, and I want to, you know, be friends with them for a long period of time. And it's kind of, I think it's easy to make friends in Austin, but it's harder, I think, for us, because a lot of them, you know, enjoy, like, going out on the weekends. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's their season. Mm-hmm. They're obviously younger. When I was younger, if I was single, younger too, I would be doing the same thing, girl.
Yeah.
But just different priorities right now. So,
yeah, I think we're so blessed because, well, finding new friends takes work. Right.
And
I
think like dating.
It's like dating.
You have to really put an effort.
Dating is so hard.
Yeah.
And then, finding friends is harder, I feel like. And you definitely have to put in the effort. But we've been blessed with friends that are, or we've gone through it to find friends that align with us.
Yes.
And so that's a blessing. But yeah, it's, you know, being in our mid 30s, and a lot of the people that we're friends with, they're so much younger than us.
Because just think of our boat party and we're like, oh, hey.
I know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
This is happening.
Yeah, this is, that is so true. I was like a spectator.
I'm like, I'm just going to dance and enjoy.
Yeah, it was so fun because you're in good company. But yes, very, you know, young, but just thanking God for the seasons of life that we are in and taking it as a blessing. And also, like, for a while I would question God because, like, my question to God was, what haven't I not done to, like, have a really, like, I feel like I've done the work, you know, I've accomplished this. I did this. I wrote this. Like, why hasn't that next piece happened? Cause as a woman, we're like, who's going to be the man we're going to marry, you know?
Yeah.
And that thought can, like, be in your mind for a while.
Yeah.
And then as you go out to different events, you're like, is it that person? Is it that person? Is it that person? You're always like, that's the question. And I think I've always, my question was like, what haven't I done to, like, earn that part?
Yeah.
But I think it's more so that not what you have or haven't done, but God is using you for a much bigger purpose. Yes. During this season. And the same thing goes for you, because I don't know if you would have continued to reinvent yourself mm-hmm. the way that you have. I don't think that you would have had the relationships that you have mm-hmm. today mm-hmm. If that had happened
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, I rushed.
Yeah.
You know, I did, like, that's why I said, Michelle, slow down, the younger me.
Yeah.
But I think you're in the waiting season. First of all, you yeah. are an amazing oh. woman. Like, and I tell you that all the time. I tell you, Miranda, like, you guys are so amazing. Like, you inspire me.
You.
I was like, you're beautiful inside out. Like, you have such a good heart. You know, like, you're beautiful. Like, you are successful in your own way.
Thank you.
And I feel like God is just using that time for you to really, yeah. you know, get to know yourself. And he's preparing the right man for you.
Yeah.
I did, because a part of me, like, after, you know, like, I went through divorce and then I got into a relationship right away. But then after that, it wasn't a bad breakup. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, like, just yeah. the circumstance, like, moving, being in military
yeah.
life was not really
right when you were
yes
back,
yes
yeah.
was not really I realized that, oh, I'm not gonna go through this transition again. And mm-hmm. that was for me, I gave myself that option that I didn't give before, that mm-hmm. I didn't get, you know, in the past
yeah.
where, oh, is this really the path that I'm going for? Or what, this time I made sure that I'm going in the right direction for myself and for my daughter.
Mm.
So I had to kind of like set those boundaries early on, because if I just used my heart, oh sure,
yeah.
I'll move everywhere, but I've already yeah. done that. And
yeah.
I feel like that, honestly, that relationship taught me, it was really God's way to like show me what a healthy relationship looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, so up to this day, I'm still friends mm-hmm. with my ex, and I'm so blessed that he came into my life at that point mm-hmm. after like my divorce and whatnot. And it really taught me how to have a healthy relationship, because I've
yeah.
never had a full healthy relationship. So that's why I had my pattern of like, oh, toxic relationship,
yeah.
move on. And carried through that mm-hmm. my entire like 20s, you
yeah.
know. And honestly, last year, after, you know, all the heartbreaks, maybe I like kind of like opened myself up again, and then got hurt with situationships.
Oh my gosh, those
but it's like, but I look back and I know now that, okay, so that needed to happen, because again, God was speaking to me.
Yeah.
This already happened to you before, but you don't want to listen to me? Okay, let me hurt you again.
Right.
Maybe you need a second time to realize that, hey, I have something better for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes, so I got tired of just going my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I would pray, I would do this, but then I wasn't obedient to, you know, his words.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, just because I like this person, he may not be the right person for me, but because I want it,
yeah.
I feel like what I need and want,
yeah.
then I go for it. But God's timing is different.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like hammered through like for 6 months. Like, I wasn't on social for a full month. I was really like, I was kind of like depressed for like 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why I went off social, because I was like, I needed to change to really like listen and obey him, mm-hmm. because I feel like I've gone through, you know, all these experiences in my
yeah.
life. And what else do I need to experience
right.
to actually, you know,
yeah.
hear him out?
Yeah.
And listen to him.
I was like,
you are really stubborn.
Yeah.
I was like, I give you grace. Like, we've transitioned
yeah.
multiple times, and, you know, you've
yeah.
gained strength through that. But like these last couple experiences, like, let me knock you down
yeah.
real quick. And I listened, and I finally like obeyed him. And I feel like now I'm just in a much better place. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just, in terms of like friendships, like career, I really feel like a lot of blessings are coming my way now,
mm-hmm.
because I really like surrendered my life to him.
Yeah.
I really listened this time. I really obeyed him this time around.
Well, you know, it's funny, because I think that when you're walking with Jesus, you have like, call it your gut, call it your intuition, like, call it whatever, but it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you.
Yeah.
And I think we all hear that voice, like, whether it's relationships, whether it's like a career move, whether it's just like, should I do this today?
We choose, you know, to ignore it.
We choose to ignore it. And what I've learned based on like my previous toxic relationships is like, the sooner that you, because I got those feelings like so early on, but I know now the sooner that you choose to obey and act on that feeling, the sooner those blessings will come.
Yes.
And I mean, I've seen it in your life. Like all of a sudden you're like, oh, I got this booking. I got this. I'm doing this. And you're like in Dallas. And I think you went to Oklahoma or something.
To shoot for. To shoot for. Yes.
And I was like.
He's like, what are you doing in Oklahoma? I was like, girl, it's for work.
But I know. Yes. It was like one day. I was like, I should have gone with you. My sister's over there. But yeah, I was just like, oh, my goodness. You turned the dial in your life because you chose to. Truly like walk in that obedience and
I really isolated myself for a time. I was saying no to a lot of things.
Yeah.
I was saying no to partying because again, there's nothing wrong with that, but with my own journey it needed to happen. I was like, no, like during summer last year, oh my gosh.
Oh. It was a summer.
It was, yes. Girlfriend, let me tell you. But yes, but after that, I was like, what am I doing?
It's so unfulfilling.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And to me, success now, like, yes, I've had success in my younger years in terms of like career. I experienced like being young, making money and all these things. And even though I don't say fame, like it's there. Yeah. I can't deny the fact that, yes, you were famous because... Every film was like, oh, she's a famous actress. And I'm like, and I feel weird. And people are like, why are you doing that? I was like, oh, I don't want to hear it. I was just like, stop it. You know, I feel embarrassed because I was just like, it's not me anymore. It's like, but you're still Michelle. And I was like, well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. So
I must have done something right because people still love me. And yeah, like I had to isolate myself. I had to check in with myself too. Because again, my relationships in the past, I would just blame people like, oh, it's your fault or whatever. But I was like, I had to, like, you know, take accountability for my actions as well.
Right.
Obviously, I was unhealed, so hurt people. Yeah. So I was also not operating in my best behavior in my younger years. So people would probably be surprised. Like, maybe my exes in the past would be like, who is this girl? They'd be like, who is this lady? I'm like, well, the one that got away. After all the work, I could initially say, and I was like, the one that got away, sweetie. I'm just kidding. I say that now and not for anything, but because I really did... you know, the inner work, like to really, you know, to look at myself and, okay, I'm no longer bringing this into like my future relationships, setting boundaries for myself. Communication. I struggled with communication. Like, I guess that stemmed from, you know, my family. We're not used to communicating. If something was wrong, like in the Filipino culture, if something was wrong, sweep under the rug and everything's fine. You go to church, you go to dinners, you go to lunch, whatever, happy family. And then you get home. There's all these different layers.
Yes.
And I just never, you know, because even mental health is still sort of a taboo back home. So no one really dealt with, oh, I feel like depressed or I'm sad. They're like, oh, just let's just go out and drink or whatever. Yeah. Or like just whatever. Like
do something fun and it'll go away.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, it does for 5 minutes.
Yes. You're trying to distract yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, but now I feel like I communicate better. Mm. And I just say how I truly feel. Yeah. And if that person can't accept it, then...
You're
it's on
okay
them.
With, right.
Yes. Yeah, I could sit back and be like, you know what? I did communicate it with you. These are my wants and these are my expectations. Mm-hmm. And if you can't meet that, I'm okay with it.
What a different way to live life.
Because everyone is like on their different journeys in life. Absolutely. So you can't expect people to meet you where you're at. Mm-hmm. Some people may take longer. Right. And if I've done the work and they're just starting to do the work, do I want to wait for that person? I also have to decide for myself. Mm-hmm. It's like, is this the path I want to go to? Like, do I want to wait for this person? Or, you know what? You're a great person. Yeah. You're amazing. Yeah. Love being your friend. But I'm going to keep moving forward.
Yes.
And, you know, good luck. And there's that.
And that's where it comes from, strength. It's amazing because, I mean, there's several organizations. And we know Forever Athlete with Corey, what he's doing with athletics, and then Nate Boyer, which what he's doing with athletics, as well as military.
Yeah.
But in those programs are, you know, you're, whether it's a professional athlete or in the military or even just collegiate athlete or played athletics at one time, like your identity gets wrapped up in the uniform or, you know, the jersey or whatever, and transitioning that identity into something else that's like equally as passionate or equally as, and you're trying to fulfill this like void. But that's not just in athletics. It's not just in the military. It's us as individual people. Like for you, it was getting caught up in acting, right? Like your identity was held in there, and how do you transition out of that? Like for me, it was just like being a like a good college student and being a good, you know, therapist. When I was a speech therapist, like the identity could be wrapped up in that. And how do you transition out of that to like reinvent yourself? And you are the epitome and the example of that, because you're not going to, I don't know if you'll ever, for me anyway, like you'll never find something that equally replaces that, because that was a different time, a different joy, a different passion then, right? Like, and now it's like life moves on and you're going to fulfill that with other things. And I, and other things, but ultimately Jesus, because without that, then I think nothing else falls into place. And you are a prime example of that.
I just prayed for that. Yeah. I prayed for, I just wanted to feel fulfilled. And I know that your day-to-day, it's not always going to be fulfilling, but it's still something on purpose.
Right.
And for me, it's like finding my purpose. You know, like I never thought I could be a full-time mom because back home we had nannies. We had a lot of help. Back in the Philippines. So we've had drivers, you have maids that help around the house, you have nannies for your kids. Yes, you still parent and take them to activities, but you have a lot of, you get a lot of help back home.
Yeah.
I did not have that. So I questioned myself before to even like, can I even be a full-time mom? I was like, I don't know what it's like, but I did it.
Yeah.
And it's like just finding grace in those little moments. And you know, for me, fulfillment, like, I know my identity, like from 10 years ago, maybe like was in acting. I still want to act. I still want to pursue that, but it's no longer my identity. Like Michelle, the actress, like I just want to do it to fulfill my heart, because I miss the craft. Same goes for fitness. Like you mentioned, like, and I said earlier, I was like, oh, I was never an athlete, but I find fulfillment in finishing a marathon, because I was like, oh, I know I did put the work in. It's, yes, it's an accomplishment, and I'm so fulfilled by that, because I was like, I can, okay, I can do hard things.
Yeah.
Even High Rocks. 3 years ago when they first came to Austin, I was like, what is High Rocks? They're like, what, 8 kilometer runs and 8 strength stations? You're gonna ask me to do that? Okay, whatever, but let me do it anyways. My time was super slow, but I still did it, you know? Like for me, it's like doing those hard things to like push forward. But yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I have so many stories.
You have so many stories.
I'm like, an hour is not enough.
It's not enough. No. You, I mean, you did amazing, just like pouring your heart out and showcasing like your story. And it's not that it's just your story, but other people can have that story if they choose to do the work. And I'm so excited for anybody that's like willing to take that initiative like you have. And I'm so
I pray for that. And I pray that every, you know, a lot of women come to me, they send me messages. They're like very honest in their socials, like navigating through divorce, being a single, how to co-parent and all these things. It's tough. But at the end of the day, you really need to find, you got to give yourself some grace, you know, to take it one day at a time, because I didn't, I don't have the manual. I like read books like how to be a mom, how to do this, you know, like, but every family, every situation is different, you know, so you're just going to have to tackle that your own way. For me, this is, this works for me. This works for my family. This works for Anika. So this is how I need to tackle it. But for some family, if you get more help, amazing, good for you. You know, so it just really depends on your family dynamic and how much help you could get.
Just know that whatever it is, like, you can do it.
Yes, and don't also, like, a lot of moms, they want to do it all. Trust me, like, we want to be that. We want to be prideful. Like, I do all these things for my kids, but at the end of the day, your mental health is really more important than anything, because if you're not your kids need a happy mom, a healthy and happy mom, because it will radiate. and it will like show them that, okay, yeah, my mom did everything, but she always complained. I don't want that. I don't want to hear that from Anika saying like, yeah, my mom, she's badass. She worked hard, all these things. She cooked every single day for me. But then she's always angry.
No. I can never talk to her.
Yes, because she's always off on edge. Yeah. Like, go over there, I'm working or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Like, to moms, like, it's okay to ask for help. Because in the beginning, the first 2 years, I didn't want to ask for help. But then I'm like, oh, I'm struggling. And it doesn't disqualify you for being a good mother asking for help.
Yeah.
We all need help. We all need a team. Mm-hmm. You know, teamwork makes the dream work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And sometimes a team isn't just your family.
Yes. People you can ask your friends. Your
life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even, I mean, I've met some of, you know, like my mom friends through social media. Mm-hmm. When I was struggling, not knowing anybody, I think that's why I was so comfortable reaching out to people because I'm like, I am sad. I am a single mom. I don't have friends. I'm going to message a mom or someone and like, hey, do you want to go for a play date? Hey, and then again, it takes an effort to build that relationship because maybe that, maybe if I didn't message you, you were probably feeling the same way. Yeah. Like on the other side, like, oh, maybe should I message her? Should I do this? Should I take the first move?
Yeah.
You don't know what the other person is thinking. So just making that first move and you'll never know what comes out of it.
Absolutely.
So
So many life lessons in this.
Oh my gosh.
In this hour. But thank you.
Has it been an hour?
It has been an hour. We could, I mean, we could talk for literally hours. So
we learned that the first day.
Yes, exactly. But thank you so much for being here and just like pouring your heart out. I know that if one person is impacted by this, it is so worth it. But thank you so much. We're going to have you back in like 6 months and see where you are. Because I feel like every 6 months, girl, you are doing something. You're on it.
Yes. But thank you. I appreciate you.
Yes.
And congratulations with your podcast.
You.
I love
thank
what you're
you.
Doing here. So I feel very honored.
Oh, appreciate you. God's doing big things.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
All right.